Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast and of course to SavvyDentist.com. It's great to have you here today. And today we're going to be talking about getting off the tools. And what's really interesting is when we look at dentistry, we sometimes think that our profession or our business is somehow different to everyone else's. But what I want to share with you is that there are so many commonalities, so many similarities with other businesses out there. But looking at other businesses and looking at the way other types of industries operate can give us some wonderful insights about what to do with our own business inside dentistry. So my guests today are Andy and Angela Smith, and they run a couple of businesses. They run a plumbing company called Dr. Drip in Sydney, and they also run a coaching business called Lifestyle Tradie. And what's really interesting in this conversation, as you'll see, is that there are so many commonalities between a trade type of business and a dental practice. Yeah, those people who are really good at what they do, they're really skillful at their professional, their trade, their craft. How do you create leverage? How do you get some systems in place? How do you create not just profitability, but time? What are some of the challenges that come up as you go from startup to scale up and ultimately selling up? So we're going to be talking about all of those things in our conversation. Andy and Angela are really knowledgeable. They're really practical. They're really down to earth. And there's so much gold and so much wisdom in this interview that you're just going to be overwhelmed with some great strategies and things you can do in your dental practice. I promise you, you're going to get a ton from this. So if you want to get off the tools and create a true business, this episode is definitely for you. Now, for those people who have just joined us for the first time, if you're a practice owner and you want to get some tools and some training and some tips about how to grow your business and how to get off the tools, then I'm going to encourage you to come across to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. In that group, we have some training there. We've got some resources there. And I want to encourage you to come into the group, come and see what we've got, come and join the conversation and to help you create a practice and a life that you love. So that's it for me. And so I hope you enjoy this conversation with Andy and Angela as much as I enjoyed recording it. See you soon. Andy and Angela, thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang out with us at the Savvy Dentist Podcast. How are you both?
Very good, thank you. Honored to be here.
Oh, it's absolutely a thrill, and I'm so much looking forward to this conversation because I think there's so many parallels between the work that you do, the work that we do, different industries, but same story. You guys run a coaching business called Lifestyle Tradie, and you know, you guys are really expert at helping people with trade businesses get off the tools, which is what we do for dentists as well. We help dentists get off the tools. Now, before we get into your backstory and all the rest of it, I wanted to start by saying congratulations on publishing your first book called Startup, Scale Up, Sell Up. Firstly, how was the process of writing that? And secondly, what was it that prompted you to write it?
Great question. The prompt was because it's critically important that tradies have an opportunity to be understood and know that there are people in the industry who know their story or can actually help them in business. Mm. We've just recently turned it into an audiobook as well. So, because the reality is, even though she reads, and I'm stereotyping, he is generally a listener versus a reader. Mm-hmm. The process about writing it, because obviously the reflection of startup, scale up, sell up is the truth about how trade business owners progress kind of through their growth phase of a business.
Mm-hmm. Also, just to add on to that was, you know, a lot of people obviously start at startup and they're going to scale up and they want to sell up, but they don't actually set their business up to make sure the startup and the foundations of their business is correct. So they're trying to scale up on bad foundations, and that's where most tradies come unstuck. So we realise there's three elements of building a really successful trade business. The first one is getting the startup side 100% right. If you said to most tradies, they would say, oh, I'm well past that. But when they come and see us, it's amazing how we're going to drag them back to the start. It doesn't matter if they're doing a million, 5 million, 10 million. They always have to take them back to the start. So that's part of the process.
Set their foundations right and start getting their business model right so that they can create a bit more space so they can work on their business instead of in it.
That's actually a really fascinating place to start, and there wasn't probably where I was going to start a conversation, but you've given me a lovely entry point and a segue, so I'm going to take it and run with it, because that's exactly what happens with dentists is oftentimes they're trying to scale up before they've got the foundations in place. So I'd like to just start with that, because in a trade business, I'm curious to understand, what do those foundational pieces look like that, you know, kind of have to be in place? And then I'll talk to you a little about what we see in dentistry.
Well, I think just to start on, most businesses think they're doing better than they are and they haven't got the foundations right.
Absolutely.
And when they've got headaches and problems in the business, it's never really their fault, or it's never really the way they set the business up's fault. It's the fact that they don't have enough staff and they don't have enough systems and structures, right? Mm-hmm. So they always go down that, I need another person, I need a system, I need a structure. But there is a real element there that you've got to go back to the basics to make sure the model is right, because there's no use running a business on a broken model and building systems off a broken model moving forward. So that's the real, you know, the real big part about us and the tradies business is going back to the beginning.
I think also the challenge to, like, your industry is perhaps the same, that these tradies have gone to TAFE for 4 to 6 years and the only business education they've ever had was their previous boss when they went through their apprenticeship, and they were perhaps learning from someone who wasn't making profit, had terrible systems, but it's actually the only ground that they have. And so therefore 99.9% of tradies who go through college say, I want to start my own business.
Yep.
So that's exactly what they do when they finish their apprenticeship, and they've got no one else to copy other than their competitors and their previous boss, and they think they're doing the right thing. So they don't realize actually that they've been set up to fail because they're fabulous on the tools. It's a reason why they, you know, get to a point that they've been in business 5, 10, 15 years before they start going, oh my God, this is, I've been working so hard, this is just ridiculous, and why isn't this working, to get this epiphany of, oh, because I'm just a tradie, like I'm just a plumber, I'm an electrician. I didn't realise that I needed these business skills to mm-hmm. ensure that I actually made something useful of this business so that I could pull profits, like understand even what profits are or how to even get them out of the business, build a successful team around me, understand the true avatar, the right customer audience, to ensure your marketing is slipstreamed, and to ensure that the platform, the technology you rely on, and the systems that you implement inside the business set the business up really well.
I think the moral of the story here is it's not the best tradie or even the best dentist that are the most successful. It's the best businessmen, business people that are where the success comes in. Yes, there's an element you need to be good at what you do, but listen, we coach a lot of tradies and they put their hand up and go, I'm not that good a tradie, but oh my God, they have an incredible business.
That's really interesting that you say that. There's a couple of things there and some really clear parallels. So in dentistry, 5 years of training, I think it hasn't changed since I went through university, but, you know, not a single lecture on business, not a single, you know, insight or helping hand to start a practice, nothing, zip. And so it sounds exactly the same. And to your point, Andy, as well, is, you know, we get so focused on mastering the craft, you know, of dentistry, perhaps your guys do too. You know, I'm going to be the best plumber, the best carpenter, the best whatever. And we do that too, and we hone that skill to within an inch of our lives, and we become really, really good at it, to the point though where we find it hard to trust other people to do it as well as we do. And of course, if we're going to create any leverage in our life, we need to be able to do that. So I'd like to just ask you, at what point do you think that we need to be able to let go of some things? And then for those, all of us listening to this, let's face it, whether you're a tradie, whether you're a dentist, perfectionism runs rife. How do you kind of trust enough to build that business so that you're not locked and trapped and, you know, doing dentistry by day and doing business by night, or being on the tools by day and trying to run the business by night? How do you do that? What's your experience?
I think what I've come across, and I've come across a lot of businesses that we're dealing with, in a way, they're caught up in their own ego about how good they are. Their business is their baby. They love it. No one can do it as good as me. And you know what? There is an element there. There's a little bit of truth in it. But you've got to remember, if you don't step aside, you'll always be that person bogged down and you'll never be able to grow the business. So you've got to realise that now is the time that I'm happy to free up some of my time and bring the right people through. Now, when I did this in my business, I was scared. No one can do the same as me. You know, I'm the same as everyone, right? But what I realised is at the start, we did take a little bit of a hit because there was mistakes and there was things happened and we need to build better systems. But now the guys do it so much better than me and I can concentrate being a business owner, which is driving the business to the levels that it needs to be. And I think that's where most people have to realise, yes, like myself, everyone wanted Andy, all my clients wanted me, I was the star. But all of a sudden, you gradually make your other team members the star and the clients are happy. There'll be a few people that say, I want you, but you can turn them around and you've got to position your staff in such an amazing way that everyone believes they're just as good or better than you.
Yeah. I'm going to add to that too. I think tradies, as I imagine dentists are the same, are absolute control freaks because when you first started your business, you did everything. You were a solo in your trade and you were the one that took the calls and, you know, you did everything. So it's you completely understand why when 5 years, 10 years in, and I understand dentistry is a little different because you do need an admin person in the office space or whatever, but the reality is that there's got to become a time where you've got to relinquish some control to someone else that you've employed right, the right person who has a similar skill set, but, it's actually personality styles. You really want to match that inside your business because, you know, you can teach them a bit more about your art of what you do. But it's actually allowing them to make decisions because it's one thing to go, I'll go do that work, but if they keep calling you or walking into your office to help make these decisions, that's not a great place. You actually need to help your team elevate.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. We talk about trying to teach them to think like us as much as to do the things like us. So it's one thing to replicate what we do. It's another thing to replicate how we think. And right. So I really love that point, Angela. I think that's really cool. Look, coming back to the book where we've got Startup, Scale Up, Sell Up, if we were to go through that progression, how do you know when you're ready to scale up? You know, someone's come to you, they've been in their practice or their business for 10, 15 years or whatever it is. They might be making good revenue. They're probably, if they've not set the foundations right, I imagine they're probably, you know, possibly making quite good dough, but they're probably tired, a bit stressed out, a bit burnt out, and maybe even losing the love of what they, you know, had in the beginning. Is that an experience that you would see? And then from there, what's the first or second or third things they need to be thinking about to, you know, change that?
Yeah, I think the big one there is the love of the business. I just want to quickly touch on that. Anyone that's working way too hard and you've got too much running through your head and you work all day and then you're working into the night, how can you love your business after 2 years, 5 years? You just can't. So you've got to step away. Now, the time is to make sure all your technology, all your structures, all your systems, everything is right around your team. And then it's a matter of going, okay, who is the right dentist that I'm going to bring in? Now, if dentist is anything like tradies, you can hardly find a tradie these days. It's so hard. So you're going to have to pay exceptional money and you've got to realise that that's going to take away some of your profits. And that's what you need to sacrifice. There's so many people, I make good profit. I don't want to give that away. Well, stop whinging that you got no time then because you've got to make that transition.
Yeah.
You'll make more profits in the end, but there's got to be a transition where you sacrifice some profits to make sure that you're bringing someone in and paying them really good money. Because if you want them to be like you, you're going to be paying them top dollar, otherwise they go do their own thing.
Yeah. And they need to be following the systems like you've set up in your business because everything's in here, the way you operate your practice and like us with our tradies. So to be able to ensure that every single new employee that comes in and is just a duplicate of you, basically dealing with the staff and running their jobs through the technology and like everything needs to be done exactly the same way so that the customers have this incredible experience and it doesn't matter whether they you know, get Bill or Jim or Sam, it doesn't matter who is the person that actually does the work, they just go, I just love this practice. That was just amazing. What a great experience I've had being in there.
The killer there was, it doesn't matter if it's you or anyone of your staff, it is dealt with exactly the same way, so nothing changes for them really, because that's, everyone hates change, so you've got to make sure it's done the same way.
Yeah, I'm loving this conversation. It feels like you guys are in my head because this is the sort of stuff that I think about, talk about all day. And to your point where you're saying sacrificing a bit of profit in the short term to get greater gains in the long term, we refer to that as a gear change. And if you're going to change gear, for those of us who are old enough to remember manual cars, you've got to, put the clutch in. But as you put the clutch in, you take your foot off the accelerator a little bit, you change gears, and then you let the clutch out and you re-accelerate. And I think it's really, it's a really important thing to understand, because what happens that we find in dentistry, at least, is people intellectually get that, but emotionally when it happens, it's a different experience. And again, to mix my metaphors really, really badly, if their current business is first base and they want to get to second base, then at some point in time, they're neither on first nor on second, and they're kind of in this awkward, is this going to work for me? And the temptation then is to go back to what you know.
Correct.
And so what I see a lot of dentists do is they say, I want to scale up, I want to do this, I want to do that. But then when they're in that no man's land and changing gears, and they're in that dip that you've described, Andy, they poop their pants and they run back to first base. Do you guys see that as well? And I guess the real question I should be asking you is, how do you overcome that emotional upset or difficulty to continue the journey through?
We definitely see it. I think all business owners are in the same spot no matter what you do. But this is where it's very important to have a great mentor, someone that you can talk to about this and talk about what is happening in your world. Most people, as you say, put themselves is because they're in the unknown zone and they're really starting to second guess everything. And it's like, oh, what are we? Oh, it's too hard. Oh, and they just fall back. And this is where they've got to have the right mindset and have the right people helping them to push through to the other side.
Yeah, community. I would say it's definitely leaning on someone who's been there and done it before you, so that you can say, I feel like this, or this is what's happened, these are the details about what's happened, is this normal? So that person, that mentor who's been there before, can say, it's 100% normal. It may take you a little longer or quicker based on what's going on in your practice, and only you know that really well. And outside of that, it's great to have a community of others. So for like you, with having lots of dentists, it's not just talking to you, Jesse, as an example. They've got this opportunity to go, oh, but that happened to Jesse, but God, he's amazing. So that's really not what's going to happen to me. But now they can go to 25, 50 other dentists and go, are you the same as me?
Mm.
And guys that have been around for a really long time in your program can go, oh, old hat, let me tell you how that happened for me. Jesse said the same thing. I told him it wouldn't happen, but 100% I followed everything he told me and it happened exactly the same. They just need consistent encouragement from a community who is like-minded and who is willing to push past that little barrier of it's not going to happen, because it will. You'll punch out that other side and you'll hit that second base and you'll be like, oh my God.
I think we're the school teacher sometimes, and everyone listens to the school teacher, but it goes, oh yeah, okay. And until you can actually throw it back in the community and they can see everyone else has done it and it's worked, then they go, oh my God. And the amount of times my members have said to me, oh my God, I had the best conversation with so and so. They told me to do ABC. And I'm like, mate, I've been telling you to do that for years. I don't say anything. But they listened to them, but they didn't listen to me. And yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I've been banging on about that for years. Crazy.
Even with proof. It's it's all good. As long as you do it, just do it.
Yeah, I don't care who you listen to, just do it. Exactly right. I love that. That is fantastic. And like in your community, because I know you've got a really well-established and vibrant community as well, and same with us. And I think that's the power of that peer group, isn't it? Because you want to know that you're not the only one, that you're not this kind of, lone explorer, charting new territory for the first time ever. There is a pathway to follow, and there is, obviously, because you've created and demonstrated that for the tradies, and that's certainly what we're doing as well. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about team, because I don't know what tradies are like necessarily, but again, dentists probably quite similar. Probably the number one challenge people have in their business is people, and they're going, I get the who, not how. I understand that I need a who and I don't need to figure out the how. I got to get the who that has the how embedded in them. There's a lot of who's and how's in that. Sorry. I'm feeling like a Dr. Seuss book right now. But my point being is, you know, people management is a skill. I guess I'd like to ask you, when you're working with your tradies, what's the number one piece of advice you would offer someone who said, yeah, Andy, Ange, people, man, I love my carpentry. I love my thing. I get that I've got to get the people thing sorted. How do I get better at that?
For me personally, with all the team that we've had over the years, it's all about building that really good culture, and that's what you're talking about. But it starts with bringing the right people in. There's no two ways about that. But it also is very important to understand everyone on an individual level. You know, I make a real effort to get to know them personally, to get to know their partner, to get to know their family, like really make it more of a matey-mate relationship. Obviously, when the hard decisions are there, it's business, but really make them realise you're in a great spot, you've got a great boss, you've got a great team, you get paid awesome money, and no one ever leaves my business unless they're going to go out on their own. They never leave for any other reason unless they're going to go out on their own. And the reason for that is we have a great team culture. Mm. Everyone gets on very, very well. If someone doesn't, I fix it straight away. And they get paid very well. So there's an element of, oh, it's a real big risk for me to go out on my own when I'm getting paid so well here.
Yeah, I love that.
Stick around long term. Even if they have the intention of starting a business on their own, and it's actually what they say to you when they start, if you can actually hold on to them, then they will actually perhaps change their mind because they go, I'm going to stick around. But I've got one thing to add, which is if you go in with the mindset of people are difficult to manage, then people are going to be difficult to manage.
Yeah.
So change your thought process.
Absolutely.
Most people are difficult to manage because you're not very good at managing. And I think that's what it comes down to.
And perhaps you're not a joy to be around, so why do they want to hang around you? So,
absolutely.
You know.
I'm with you. I think, you know, when people say people are difficult to manage, I go, I wonder if you're difficult to manage too.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I love that. That's a really good perspective. The third part of your book was really about selling up. And of course, you know, we want to always be thinking about what's my end game here. So from your perspective, is it a case of always be thinking about the exit as you're building it? You know, you're building something that is saleable in the end. Is that the philosophy that underpins that section?
Yeah, the whole thing around sell up isn't that, oh, my God, I have to sell my business. Mm. But if it's a cash cow and you're making really good money, why do you want to sell it?
Absolutely.
But as we say at Lifestyle Tradie, the freedom to choose. And that's what we're trying to set the business up for. If you still want to work on the tools and do that, then great. If you don't want to work in the business at all and it runs by itself and makes great money, then great. If you just want to get out and sell the business, then great. Again, your business is set up in such a way that whatever you do, you're going to be successful. And if you do want to sell it, you'll get probably three times what it's worth because of the way it's been set up.
Cool, cool. So I guess the thing I'd like to ask you then is, what are the elements that make a business really valuable in the marketplace so that if someone were to say, you know, it's that time of life when I'm thinking I do want to sell, what are the drivers of value in the business that you see need to be in place to attract that premium sale price? And then equally, you know, if we reverse engineer from that, what do we need to be thinking about to create it?
The biggest one there is no one wants to buy a business that's a shit fight, right? Because they're going to come in and they're going to go, where do I start? You just bought yourself another job.
Yep.
So, you know, and there's a lot of people that sell businesses like that, but that's why they don't get the dollar value. And someone like me will come in and go, that's a shit business. It's run terribly. I'm going to fix it and I'm going to double the profit. So everyone wants a business that can run without them and with a great team, a great culture, loyal customers that constantly keep coming back. And in most instances, that's what you're looking for, right? People to constantly come back, not only the mum, the dad, the daughter, the brother, the cousins, but everyone to keep coming back because you've got such an incredible name, an incredible brand. But guess what? You're not the one leaning over people's mouths anymore. You might be the one just managing the business. That's a successful business that you'll get top dollar for. And that's where dentists as well are getting and are buying other businesses and bringing in that structure. But you've got to get it right first before you start following all these shiny objects and buying more businesses. Get your first one right.
And the only way to do that is to implement systems.
Yeah.
You need to be able to get off the tools. And the best way to do that is to start building those systems and teach others, provide them opportunity to make their own decisions, and then go on a holiday. Just to test 1 week, see what breaks, come back, fix that thing, and then fix it, do another test 1 week to get to a point that you've even told everybody, I'm going away for 4 weeks as an example. You've actually got to the whole point. The reason why we all started a business is because not only we've done it for money, clearly, so that we can buy what we want when we want or whatever. Money does make life easier.
Yep.
But truthfully, it's freedom with regards to time. You'll never get it back.
Yeah.
So how can you honestly take even 1 day out, 3 weeks out, and not take a phone with you and know that you'll come back without a shadow of a doubt and the business is amazing still, there's still profit, you haven't lost customers. So how do you do that? And systems is the only way.
Yeah, I love that. In fact, I've got a client who's springing to mind as you're talking about, Barry. And Barry takes more holidays than anyone I know. And he started off doing exactly that. I'm going to go away for a week, test the business, see what breaks, come back, fix it, and then so on and so forth. And now it's a running joke in our community about how many holidays. Like, Barry, you're not on holiday, dude. What's going on? So I really, really like that. And I think the thing, you know, we're trying to eliminate key person risk in all of this, obviously, because what we talk about is in dentistry, there's a trend to multi-business ownership, multi-practice ownership. And I'm not sure if that translates to you guys as well. The difficulty in dentistry is it's usually across different premises, different locations. So there's some geographic considerations there as well. But what we often see happening in the broader community, not so much in ours, is we get this thing called the Cinderella syndrome. You've kind of got your one good business that was going so well and a couple of ugly stepsisters. And you've got this beautiful business that you end up compromising now because your attention is, you know, dispersed. You end up with another couple of jobs and then you're busier and time poorer than you were before and not necessarily any better off monetary. So it's a bit of a trap, I think.
It can be. It definitely can be. But I think if you're doing these multiple businesses, everything that happened in the first business that's running perfect, it has to be perfect first.
Yeah.
It's got to be exactly the same. So it doesn't matter which dentist you go to, the systems, the structure, everything is the same. You can't have Barry doing one thing and Jono and Steve-O, they're all doing different things. That's where the problem is. And the other thing is the training and the structure around it has to be so good that if any of those staff leave or quit, you can actually put someone back in that position and train them up quickly and make sure they can own that role. For us at Dr. Drip, we can train someone up to run our whole company in 2 weeks. We've got the whole training around it, and we've done it a couple of times now. 2 weeks we can train someone to run our whole business on the phone, girl in the office, one girl in the office. And the beauty of that is she doesn't understand probably plumbing as well as she does, but the structure of the business just pulls it through. And that's when you feel comfortable with your business because it's not anyone holding you to ransom. It's like, oh, you want to leave? Okay, I'll get someone else. You know, not being held to ransom.
Again, we are singing from the same hymn sheet for sure, because the ability to take someone off the street and have them become productive and efficient in their role very quickly is, I think, a core skill and a core function that we need to build into our business. Yeah, I think probably, if not the core skill, certainly one of the top two or three, you know, it's a huge part of that. And, you know, we talk about taking someone from being a rookie to being a pro. And I really love the fact that you've addressed that because, in fact, actual fact, we were going to talk about that anyway. But when it comes to setting up that training process, what sort of structures or, you know, or what did you need to have in place to be able to do that? How did you start that process of building that asset into your business?
Well, interestingly, if anyone knows our story, and I know you do, but we had a business that grew like you wouldn't believe, but then Ange came to me and said, I've had enough, I'm out the door pretty much. And the reason was is because I was never around. It was just an incredible, a lot of money coming in the door, a lot of money going out the door. Made a lot of money beforehand, but the structure wasn't right, and that's what's made us rebuild our business to get it to where it is and then realise that that's what all these other tradies are missing out there. So I sat down with my team, and I got at that stage we had four people in the office, way top heavy, you wouldn't believe. And I got everyone to document everything they did every 15 minutes for a 2 week period. And then we got it all together, and then I got everyone to do a step by step for every procedure that they do. And then I got people to sit in other people's roles and make sure they could follow the flowcharts. And that's how we started building all our systems in our business. There might be an easier way now. Most of our members now just buy our systems and then they tweak it to do it. But back then, that's how we did it.
Yeah, lovely. And then, of course, when you had new people come through, they obviously just sat down and went through that, and you would have had some sort of time frame where, you know, on day one you do this, day two you do that kind of routine. Is that how it works?
100%, yeah. It's all structured out what we do and how you do it. Yep. And depending, everyone learns in different ways. So we have some videos, some checklists, some flowcharts, but it's just about training them. And some people learn quicker than others as well, but just making sure they follow the steps. And the main thing we say is we're happy if it takes a little bit more time, but you have to never, you always have to follow the steps every single way. And if you think there's a better way, then note it down. Talk to us, and if it is, we'll adjust it. But otherwise, follow the system every single time.
Yeah, loving that, loving that. So I guess what I'd like to ask you is, if you were to go back in time and think about the Dr. Drip business, what it was like back then, and this is actually where I had intended to start the podcast, so I'm coming full circle, but here we go. And I'm probably means I'm zigging and zagging a little bit, so just bear with me while I do. I will try and tie it together. What was your life like at that point?
So the business started in the year 2000. We'd just travelled for 2 years. So Andy was like, I'm so keen to get back. Dr. Drip's going to be amazing. And he was so gung-ho. He's seriously driven, dedicated.
A little bit competitive, and our mates had bought property and already, and we came back with nothing. I was like, oh, my God.
But the business just grew really, really fast. We were making exceptional money, had some awesome clients. Yeah, it was a phenomenal business.
It was an incredible business. We bought a house down on the beach in Sydney. Like, we just were doing really, really well. And then,
but overnight, it just
switched, and we lost a few key clients. A few people started causing some dramas. The culture and the team started getting a bit out of hand. I had a leading hand in play that was telling me how everyone was, but he was actually sort of stabbing me in the back a little bit as well, and I didn't know, and it just got out of control. And I think back then we didn't have the technology and the structure and the systems of now, so it was all in paper diaries and on these yellow job cards, and there was cards, and I felt like a casino dealer. There was just crap everywhere, and customer would go, you haven't been to us for 2 weeks. Oh, Mrs. Jones, I'll go for a big pile. I go, oh, I've got it booked in for tomorrow. See you at 7 a.m., and then I'd move everything. It was just a nightmare.
Ridiculous.
It just grew way too quick. But we made a lot more money in the early days.
Andy had a fire and attached to his head 24/7 because we were a 24/7 business.
Yeah.
And we just had Hannah through IVF, which is a whole other story. So, but he was never around.
Yeah.
And if you could go to dinner as the wife, I'd be at this beautiful dinner with all our friends, and Andy would be through the window with a pad and paper and a pen. Because he'd be like this with his phone, writing notes, and that's where he spent the entire night. Like, we lived opposite lives. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So, ladies and gents, if you're listening to this podcast and you can relate to any part of that story, which I reckon a lot of people can, by the way, great business, grows quickly, making good money, time becomes the most important thing in your life very quickly. Once money is taken care of, you realize that you need the time. That's the finite commodity. You can always make more money. And then I'm going to encourage you to really go back and study this podcast, because there's a lot of gold and threads of things you're going to be able to pull on. So with your business, Lifestyle Tradie, now, I know that you...
Can I just cut in? I just want to point out, when I was making really good money, probably like a lot of your dentists that now,
yeah,
I just thought my business was incredible.
Yeah.
You know what? It was an absolute basket case. But because I was making really good profit, I just thought I was a winner, you know, and that's a real, in business, we can be flying and then something happens, it just kicks you in the ass, and that's what happened to me. So if you're out there making really good profit, thinking you know better and your business is incredible, actually sit back and write down what needs to be better in your business. You'd be surprised how much you need to improve to get the perfect business right before you look at starting to grow.
Actually, Andy, I might just jump onto that as well, because I haven't really shared this with you guys, but my first dental practice was like your Dr. Drip, right, in the early days, in the sense that we made tremendously good money. We just had our first baby. I was getting home really late. I was tired, shitty, didn't enjoy parenting in those early days because I was so tired and I had nothing left to give. And you know what? At the time, I didn't know how to change it. And so we sold it. And if I'd gone back and been able to just step back for 5 minutes and think about things, I would have been able to find a path forward. But I was so busy. I was tired. My mental health was probably in the toilet, if I'm honest with myself. Yeah. You know, wasn't doing so well there. But, you know, I mean, okay. But, you know, like just not loving life and going, you know, I don't want to do this for another 30 years. Crap that. That sucks. Anyway, so if you're listening to this and you relate to any of that stuff, then, yeah, get on board and let's think about this differently.
Pride actually gets in the way. So as a female, having done this now, having worked with trade business owners for the last 11 years, the one thing that I can say about the guys that I meet, the trade business owner that I meet, the male, he is so proud about having started this business and having done it alone and built this incredible business, whether they're 2 years, 5 years, 10 years in, whatever, that they tell themselves this story about how amazing their business is. And that's what they say to their friends. Hey, how are things? How's business? Everything's great. Amazing business. But they just actually believe their own bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's only until it actually takes a fair bit of time, to be honest, to actually break down those barriers, because you've got to get to the truth around, but what is really happening inside that business? Because you can't keep this up forever. Yes, there might be money in the business. And yes, you might have a staff team around you that can take the workload to a certain degree, that you can take a 2 week holiday off or whatever, but you actually don't have control, and you honestly don't have a business that could sell, or, you know, like it's just an absolute mental case and it's very chaotic. So the pride is one thing I would say, hand on heart, and I respect everyone to having had the balls to start a business the way they have, but you've got to talk. You've got to reach out to someone who's been there and done it before you, and be brave to ask questions that you think might be dumb, because no question is a dumb question, and someone else is always going to have advice and a pathway to follow that is proven and fast-tracked.
And I don't know, you know, you probably should work in the dental field, just so you know, because it's exactly the same. We feel such pride, and I think there is something, and again, I don't want to generalize or stereotype, but I do think men kind of get into the provider, I'm the provider kind of thing. And I do believe that they focus a lot on external signs of wealth. I've got all this money, I'm driving a flash car. You know, to the outside world, my life looks amazing. Certainly on Instagram, it looks freaking awesome, right? Because here I am traveling business class or whatever. But at the same time, I really want to, you know, echo your point, Ange, because pride gets in the way. And I reckon the other thing that gets in the way is trying to impress other people, because, you know, we're trying to impress, you know, what's that great saying about the keeping up with the Joneses? Buying shit you don't need to impress people you don't like. You know, it's just with money you don't have, right?
And the question you need to ask yourself is, do you actually love what you do?
Yeah.
Do you love life? And if your true answer is no, then even with all this flashy materialistic stuff, then perhaps you need to do something about it.
Make some change.
Be prepared.
And that's exactly where I was all those years ago. Externally, looked $1 million. Internally, really unhappy. And that was, for us at that time, the catalyst. And I think coming to your point, Andy, as well, is sometimes you have to hit the wall.
You do.
And you have to kind of have that, you know, kick in the pants or a bit of a face plant and go, you know what, I thought this was all great, but now I've just got to have that real conversation with myself and acknowledge that it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Well, hopefully the listeners aren't in that position that we're talking about.
Yep.
But if you are, just do it and fix it straight away.
Absolutely. So I wanted to just come back to a couple little things because, yeah, rather than kind of feeling a bit sad sack about some stuff, I think what I want to do is shine the torch down the road and say, if you are feeling any of those things, let's look at some practical things, some 1, 2, 3s, ABCs, etc. So if we were to kind of wrap this podcast up with the gospel according to Andy and Ange, and would have put it on a big fat billboard driving down, you know, Parramatta Road in Sydney or wherever people are driving, and we were able to capture your best thoughts, best thinking, ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, whatever you want to call it, what would it say on a billboard if we were to capture the gospel according to you guys?
Ooh, that's a hard one, but I will say the first one, you've got to have self-belief, you've got to believe in yourself. and you've got to surround yourself with the right people. I think my best asset now is I'm an incredible finger pointer. I have an iPhone, I don't even have a computer, but I have the right team around me, and we've obviously built Dr. Drip, Lifestyle Tradie, and there's another three businesses we're working on at the moment. But that's only because we've built the systems, the structure, put the right people in those positions to give us an opportunity to look at something else. So I just don't know the exact words. I was going to say just do it, but I think that's been used before.
My add to that, which is pretty much what you said, is be always open to change because that really is the only constant.
Yep.
Like the thing that will always happen, there was a quote about that. I can't remember who said that, those words. But specifically, learn from someone who has walked the walk before you. So someone who is in the same industry, who has proven success and can share that, but ensure that there is a community. And be brave to ask questions because people actually have the answers.
This isn't the exact words because there's obviously, but buy speed, as in buy that. Right?
Yeah.
And so many people just try and think they know better. I'll do it myself. I don't want to spend 20 grand here and 50 grand there. Oh my God, the amount of people that have come to me and just got any, I want what you have. And I've gone, here you go. And now they're turning over. Like, it's just the mistakes that I made along the way. Why try and reinvent the wheel? Find someone that's doing it better than you. And buy their systems, buy their structure, buy whatever it is.
Buy their knowledge.
And save you so much time and heartache.
Oh, amen to that. And look, I'd just like to echo that, buy speed. I think speed, time, you know, however you want to phrase that, is the most valuable currency that we have. If I could go back in time and redo some of the things I did, thankfully we learned a lot of lessons and our business is totally different now. But I'm like you. I think that, you know, if you can walk in someone else's footsteps that's been there before, why go chopping through the jungle with a machete when you don't need to? It just seems like hard work, man.
Hard work.
Yeah. Hey, Antonetti, I wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come and hang with us. And ladies and gents, if you're listening to this podcast and you know a tradie, or your brother, your sister, your friends, your family, whoever, if you know a tradie, you use a tradie, which I'm sure you do, send them to these guys, because I tell you, they're going to get so much value out of talking to Ange and Andy, and I think that'd be a great gift that you could help them with. But for now, guys, I really just want to say thank you. It's been a joy to talk, as always, and I can't wait to catch up soon.
Thanks so much for your time. It's been awesome.
It has been awesome.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.